Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camaro.
All right, so here we are. We're in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Aaron Camaro on assignment for the Decibel Geek Podcast. Hanging out outside the Alexis Hotel off of Elm Hill Pike. And I knew I was in the right place when I saw the construction out front. I thought it was destruction. I said, this is the right place. This must be where Dawn of the Rising is at. So I rolled on in. I found Ray. I found Iggy. We've been hanging out a little bit this afternoon. We got kind of a slack in the episodes on Decibel Geek, so I thought it'd be fun just hang out with you guys for a little bit and talk about why you're in town, what's the state of Dawn of the Rising, and just hang out and shoot the breeze. We're outside. It's a beautiful day. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, thank you for coming out. We appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Right on, brother. It's awesome to see you guys.
Yeah, and long time coming, you know. Yeah. As I've said before, that, you know, I've been a fan for a long time because, you know, I love rock and roll as you do, and I'm a fan first. So I always would try to find things at work because I worked overnight at the time, you know, and I would listen to Eddie Trunk once in a while, you know, and then I was thinking, there's got to be other podcasts out there because he had a lot of that me stuff. And I like him, but you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I'm looking for something else and then I came across you guys and I'm like, man, these guys are cool as fuck, man. And they got cool content. And I love everything you guys do as far as, you know, how you do it. Like, you're just straight up good dudes, and that's how I like to roll, you know.
Right on.
So
yeah,
I've been a fan for all this time, and now to meet you in person,
yeah,
man.
Hell yeah, man. It's cool. Just to let you know, when I'm name dropping, it's you guys. That's what I like. Yeah, I know.
And I appreciate that, and I know.
Heck yeah.
And we can't wait to get the new record to you, and we wanted to get it by now, but I got one song, and it's my fault. I'm lagging on it because I'm mixing this one, and I'm having my friend Brandon, who's done the last recordings, master it because he's in the mix to moving out here to the south. Actually, he's going to North Carolina, which is Brandon Kruziniak from the Library Studios, who's done all our videos so far and all our recordings so far. And now I'm kind of doing the recording and mixing because, like I said, he's in the transition of moving, but he is going to master these. He mastered the second to last song just now. I got that back. I got that to you, Iggy. And then now I got one more, and then it's final. I wanted to bring you a hard copy, but it didn't happen.
That's what I was hoping. Well, the interview's over. I'm out of here.
That's what
I was here for.
I'm gonna grab the merch, though. We have merch upstairs for you.
Yeah, we got some swag for
nice.
You guys.
Yeah, I'll wear that around here proudly.
And it's actually...
Limited edition.
Nice. There was only 12 of these shirts run. They were for our 2020 tour that never happened, but they were for our crew.
Thank you, COVID.
Yeah, and we were going to go from Phoenix and go up to 40, which comes through here. But we were going to go. Remember, I was talking to you. I said, man, if we do this Metal in the Mountains.
Yeah, West Virginia.
I was contacting you because I said, we want to stop here, remember?
Yeah.
And you said, we could work something out. But anyway, we were going to plan a tour down the whole 40 to make it worthwhile to go to the Metal in the Mountains festival from our label at that time, which I won't mention. And we were going to play that and then do the same thing on the way back, but probably less shows on the way back and maybe stop here and meet you guys because we're off the 40.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, COVID happened and I got off the fucking board and it sucked. But here we are.
Right, but you guys took advantage of it.
Yeah.
Because at the time, when everybody's sitting at home not doing nothing, Iggy, we were talking about this earlier, you guys took advantage of that by putting out music and putting out some great videos where people were sitting at home looking for stuff to watch.
Right.
Literally.
That had to help quite a bit, I gotta
imagine. Yeah, and Brian Mogul, this is a musician in Phoenix. He's a great guitar player. Actually from a band called Blitzkrieg in New York back in the day, and Joey Belladonna was his singer.
Yeah.
Anthrax took him from that band, and then in return they got to tour with him and whatever. But anyways, Brian does this thing, and it's kind of a cool thing. It's a metal orchestra type thing, like symphony mixed with metal.
Yeah.
And then he has a whole band too, and I sing with him a couple times. I did. He only has one singer on his first record, Dinner and a Solo, and I'm the guy who he picked, which is a blessing, and God bless him for that.
Interesting.
But long story short, he had, during that time, doing live feed shows, like at his band rehearsal studios, Oasis, in Mesa.
Yeah.
And he's like, he loved our band, and he was like, dude, we're going to put on some shows. Would you like to play? I know it's this, and I have this many numbers of plays, and you know what I mean? And so we did that, and it kept us alive through that. And Brian Mogul, he did that for a lot of the music scene. It wasn't just us. He would have shows, and it was like a concert, but online, you know? Right, and he'd have them come in, and of course, social distancing. So one band at a time, only one old lady each or whatever, and one roadie each or whatever. So you were only allowed so many people and blah, blah, blah. But he always had food in one room. You know what I mean? And
that's cool,
and
man.
And he would have the bands in, and we'd play like these virtual concerts. And that helped us stay ready to play when it's time, because you're literally playing, but it's kind of weird because you're playing to no audience.
Right.
That you can see.
That you can see. But in reality, you know, you're playing to probably a pretty big audience.
Yes.
Yes.
And he does well. He's a. I admire his marketing.
Yeah.
And he's the guru of it. Like, he's everywhere, constantly, and he does live feeds all the time. Like, you'll be at a restaurant 4 in the afternoon, ding, the fuck, and then here he is, Brian Mogul is live. Like at 3 in the morning, beep beep beep. Brian Mogul is live, and he'll do his thing. He'll run his tracks, and he'll play his
and
guitar.
Talk a little bit about what's going on in the music scene over there.
Yeah, he spits. You know, promotes everybody.
Yeah,
loves everybody.
That's cool.
Like, and gives them light of day on his show all the time. Like, and so I wanted to mention him also. Plus, that's what happened for us as a band.
We need more people like that. You know?
Absolutely.
Especially in trying times like back then.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a guy, a photographer, John Rowland, who does all those pictures you see of us. Mm-hmm. There's others, too. But Brian, John Rowland is at every show, and he does this free. And he brings pro equipment. And he's a mailman all day walking around the beat, delivering everybody's mail. And at night, tired as shit, he goes out and sees bands all over Arizona.
Local bands, international bands. I mean, he's been in every fucking show that I can remember.
And then he releases the pictures on Facebook, tags everybody in the band, and then they're yours.
You can see the passion.
And he doesn't want a fucking dime. He's another Brian Mogul. You know what I'm saying? These are two good people that we've been in friends with that I hold dear to me, because I have a passion for music, obviously, and for them to be such an asset to the community of music in my town, it means a lot to me, because those people, like you said, without them, who the fuck do you got? You got nobody. You got your buddy with a cell phone, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is cool, and I'm not saying that's bad, but this guy comes out and dedicates his time, so he's worth a mention as well.
Brings his time, pro equipment, you know. And his cameras ain't cheap.
Pictures we use for marketing, I told him we're gonna, you know, do something for him, and he's like, I don't want it. But one of these days, I'm gonna snatch him up, take him to a 5-star dinner or something. You know what I mean? He deserves it. He's a great guy. Yeah. He really is.
Reminds me like Rock and Ron. He used to do it for Decibel Geek TV.
Yep. Yeah. He's
just doing
awesome,
it, not
dude.
Making a penny doing it, but
the
so
passion.
Proud of you. Like when it would go out and people would enjoy it, you know, and people that couldn't be at that show get a chance to witness it, you know, in
right.
a way.
Yeah.
So I know that meant a lot to him, and that's, you know, that's all of us.
Well, those
the
are the things
it.
You can take with you. You can't take your car with you when you die.
Right.
You can't take your money with you when you die. Uh-huh. You can't take anything with you, but you can take this, your heart. You know what I mean? And
all the memories,
the things
all
that
that's what
that you
me.
That you experienced in your life.
And the things you leave behind for others in the future. You know?
And he's a legacy because you and I will say Ron's name many years.
Yeah.
And he will live on. And his shows, you got them recorded. You know, that's just like music.
And then, so you think about that sometimes, like when you're doing like podcasting and stuff like Decibel Geek, and you think, someday, you know, when we're all long gone, this stuff might still be out there available somewhere. And
somebody,
you know,
will be listening.
Somebody's great-great-grandkids might go, oh, you know, we did some history and found this guy. You know, he's my great-great-grandfather, and he did this thing. And then we looked it up and found this thing called Decibel Geek, or your grandkids find it or whatever, you know, and go back and listen to their ancestor that's been gone for years.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
I'm, like, grateful to actually be in a position to leave material behind when I'm gone for my legacy and family, so they can know where I grew up and the words that I sing in my time. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially with music.
What better way to tell them how you lived?
Yeah.
Is through your music.
Yeah.
And they can go back and, wow, because you ever wonder your great-grandfather, I wonder what he was into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was in a band, and then look it up and be like, whoa, you know?
Good thing I didn't know him. No, just
and hopefully encourage them to do their own thing in the future.
Be inspired by it. Like, oh, wow, my ancestor did this. Maybe I got it in me, too.
Yeah, like those old bootleggers back in the day. If my grandpa can do it, I can do it too, you know.
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
So is moonshine real here?
It's, if you're talking about the stuff you can buy at the gas stations, it's similar, but it's not the real thing.
Yeah. Is there still the traditional?
When I moved down here, my brother had a jar, a mason jar, in his kitchen with that stuff in it. And I, like, sniffed it one time. I was like, oh, shit, you know. And then I gave it just, like, a little sip. And I was like, oh, damn, you know, I can't drink this shit. It's too much, like, worse than gasoline. And I left it alone, but I caught a little buzz off, a little tiny sip off that stuff, you know. I've never drank it before, but
the only time I had moonshine, have you heard of the Flog of Molly's? I'm sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
David King used to sing for Fastway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that unless you're a
it's
fan.
Hard to imagine.
And he's Irish for one, and I'm Irish, so I've always liked him, even from Fastway, especially from Fastway. But I love the Flog of Molly's as well because it's my culture.
Yeah.
But one time we were doing Tempe Town Lake as a stagehand. My son and I, James, we were working, and we were on stage right off to the side, and the bass player was over there, and he had a cup of something. It was St. Patrick's Day, and it was clear, and we're standing there, and he's doing his bass thing, and he comes over, and he looks at my son, and he hands him that jar, like you're talking about, and my son goes, what? And he goes, and I'm standing with him, and James takes a hit, and he, whoa. And then he hands it to me, and I'm like, what is it? And I took a hit, and I'm like, whoa, it was like drinking fire.
Yeah.
Straight up. And then after the show, I asked the guy, I said, dude, what is that? And he's like, that's moonshine, straight up moonshine.
Wow.
I was like, holy fuck. I'm not going to ask how he got it, because he's on the road. You know, he probably
could fucking do fire with it.
I had no idea what it was, but it tasted like
pitorro.
Yeah.
Like if you took your Coleman lantern and took the lid off, took a drink,
the kerosene.
Literally, that's what it was like. Yeah. And I bet it would have the same effect if you lit a match.
Yeah. Oh, probably though. Probably does.
So you guys been running around Nashville for a couple of days. Have you run into anybody famous here?
Well, we ran into Aaron Camaro.
Oh, of course.
No, you're the first and only celebrity so far.
All right. Well, you still got a little more time.
Yeah.
I met the old guitar player, Christian Simon. He used to play with Faster Pussycat.
Oh, shit.
I met him the other day. So that's kind of the weird thing about Nashville. It's like, you run into people sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows who we crossed by yesterday, but since it was so packed. But, yes, we survived Broadway.
Yeah. They went to Kid Rock's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys make it to Bowie's?
No.
Oh, that's, I told you, that's the rock place. You guys went up and down Broadway and couldn't make it no more blocks up the street.
it was like a grid. I mean, it was like, okay, like we're going up, but let's make a left. There's a couple venues here. Walked it out. kept on going up. Then when we reached the end, then we started doing the same thing going downwards.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. I mean,
yeah, Hank Williams, I think, just opened. We went in
there.
That's
right. I saw that.
We went in there, and that was kind of cool. And,
I mean, so much to see, even
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot to take in one night.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, which way do you go? And keep, I see why you stay away from there, honestly.
And I can't believe that we passed that Gibson garage. I wanted to go there and see it. Maybe do it later today before they close down. There's still places. I mean, and during the night, there were also many places like that were closed at that time. They shut down operations at 5, 6, whatever. So
it was interesting. You know?
Downtown's a lot different now from when I moved down here like 20 years ago. There used to be strip clubs down there.
Oh, no wonder that one is called the Nudie Bar or whatever, but it's not a TV
bar.
No,
it's a brand.
It's a brand, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not anything like that. But, yeah, so it just turned into clubs, and I see that it's all famous country singers that are owning them.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And Kid Rock, which turned into a country singer.
Yeah, it was funny and interesting. Being in a floor, they got their regular bar and food and all the service they do, and a country band, for example. Then second floor, the same concept, but rock band. A third floor, another type of whatever, bluegrass or whatever they were playing.
We did see rock. We stayed on the floor of rock at Kid Rock, and it was a band, I don't even know their name. It was two chicks, two dudes.
Yeah, they were doing covers and song requests and all that. It was
eclectic. They were going from Metallica to like country. It was crazy.
A human jukebox, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was at Rockin' Pod that time, and I'm like, I'm starving at the Kiel Fest, and Eric Luzier finds me and says, Kid Rock's right up the way. They got food there. I go, let's go. So it's me and him and the Mooger Fooger, and we haul ass up the street. And we go to Kid Rock's, and we're like, this floor is packed. And then we go to the next floor, and it's packed. And we finally like make it to the third or fourth floor, and we find a spot at the bar. And we're starving, and we take the empty seats. But it's like a band, and they're playing like Taylor Swift songs and
shit.
Oh, God. And there's a bunch of girls in there. They're loving it, you know.
Yeah.
We're starving, so we're like suffering through the music while we're trying to replenish ourselves to go back up to Kiel Fest and drink more beer.
Dude, Kiel Fest, that must have been bomb. I'm a huge Ron Kiel fan ever since I was young. I was that kid in the video with the boombox cranking Right to Rock. I had a boombox, I had the cassette, and I was mobbing the malls cranking that, like Cherry Lane, all that shit, you know?
Yeah.
So, man, if I had the money, I would have been here for that for sure, especially Steeler, because I started out.
Yeah, Steeler was cool, man.
What was that?
With Rick Fox.
Yeah. They used it on, there was a radio show back in the day, and they used that thing in Steeler to start the show. What the hell was it? I can't think of the name. It was a radio show. I'll have to remember it. But it was national.
Right.
But they started with Steeler's thing, and that's how I became a Steeler fan, and then Kiel, of course, and because I'm old, man, I've been around a long time.
Right? No, I remember Kiel.
Yeah, but I love that, man, and I saw him open for Motley Crue, I think Theater Pain, as you know, in their heyday, and it was awesome. I remember him throwing the microphone to the light rack and catching it in time for a scream.
Yeah.
I was like, man, these guys were
that's
when I went out and bought the cassette right after that show.
Nice.
Same with like the Great White. That's how I was turned on to a lot of bands. Like I'd go see my favorite band, Judas Priest, and Great White opened up, and I'm like, who are these guys?
Right.
And they came out and blew doors with that first record. Like
that first record
Stick
was cool.
It and all those songs.
Because they were kind of a little Priesty back then.
Yeah.
Like you could tell like at that, because they changed. They changed into like a blues, heavy blues band.
Right. Yeah, totally, totally.
But before that, that first album's fucking awesome.
Metal.
It's so metal.
And
it's so good. I wish they would have stayed that way.
And after that concert, and that was Heads Are Gonna Roll Tour, or whatever it was called, you know, 84.
Mm-hmm.
And I went right out and bought that cassette and burned it down. Like, played it. And that was, you know what I mean? That's how I was turned on to a lot of bands that I never even knew. They would tour with the bigger bands, and I'd be like, holy shit, these guys are rocking. You know, and now look at the two Great Whites, you know.
Yeah. One and a half, I guess. I don't ever hear nothing out of Jack Russell's Great White anymore.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, I think they dropped something new, and haven't.
They only had the one album, and that's been a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it a couple years ago, I think? And then I saw, like, when they had that music thing in California, he was there. They had a clip of him singing one of the ballads. And, I haven't heard from him in a while. Yeah. He used to send out, like, a song of the day out of his website on Facebook, and it would be other bands, you know, his friends, and he would say, oh, here's the song of the day, and I kind of do that too.
Yeah,
but
right.
But
I'm excited to hear the other Great White, because that singer they got now is a young dude.
Yeah,
and he's the best thing they've had since Jack Russell, because he actually sounds like Jack Russell a lot, you know, and he can do it. So these other guys, they got like Terry Eluse, and Mitch.
I worked a Great White with him.
Yeah,
I got a funny story about that.
Those singers they're already established, so they're not going to make
XYZ and
they're not going to make themselves sound like.
Then the
Jack
Christian
Russell.
Guy didn't fit. I don't think the guy with the super long hair,
Mitch Malloy.
Yeah, I don't think he fit very well at all.
No,
he's got a great voice, but it wasn't that style. Yeah,
because he's more like a Michael Bolton kind of guy. If you ever really listen to his music,
literally. Yeah.
But this guy they got now, this Brett Carlisle, I'm looking forward to the new music. I think
I'll
it's going to be
out.
Probably the best thing.
I saw Great White
time.
With Kristen maybe a year or two ago, and Andrew Freeman, sang because it was in between. I think their new guy couldn't do a gig or something, and then he was in it. Or no, they got rid of Mitch Malloy, and then they had to get a singer, and then he came in and did the gig on that tour. And we saw him at the Marquee Theater in Tempe, and he hit all the notes. They were doing all the old tracks from the first record, and he was hitting every note, because I've been, you know, like I said, I love Jack Russell.
Right, yeah.
And I'm used to that, but I was like, Andrew hit every fucking note, and I got respect, because I saw him with in the club, the 44, where I work.
Yeah.
Nancy and Robert own it, and that's who I work for. They had George Lynch in there, and Andrew Freeman sang for him, and he did all the docking shit and killed it.
Nice.
And I was like, whoa, who is this fucking guy? And I realized he sang for the Dio Band.
Right, yep.
But he did the Great White, and I was like, holy fucking shit, this guy can sing, man. And he nailed it. The first guy, like you said, that I heard, so I'm really curious about the new guy, because I was like, Andrew Freeman, but he didn't stick.
I think there was some deal where, like, there was a scheduling conflict, because Andrew Freeman, like you said, has got other stuff going on. And they were ready to go out on tour, and he couldn't make a date. And then they did a show with this young kid. And, I say young kid, young man.
Yeah.
And he nailed it, and they loved it, you know, and said, well, if you got other stuff going on, man, you go ahead. I mean, because he's.
Yeah, they were saying he's the man, because they were like, this guy could. He was blowing doors, no lie.
Yeah.
No lie. I was like, whoa. And I'm a deep Jack Russell fan, you know what I mean?
Me too.
And I was like, this guy's killing it.
Yeah.
Even when I worked Great White with the XYZ guy, he was good too, but he didn't sound, he did his own thing, which I would do too as a singer.
Because you don't want to just be, if you're already an established singer with other stuff that people know, you can't just make yourself sound like somebody else all of a sudden.
Right.
Like when Whitfield Crane from Ugly Kid Joe, he joined the band Life of Agony for a minute. But then they got together and they started doing, they did a couple of shows, and they're like, we sound like Ugly Kid Joe now.
Yeah.
Like, we sound like Life of Agony if Ugly Kid Joe was our singer.
Yeah.
And that don't jive, you know?
No, you should call it something
else. And they all knew it. And so he bowed out and they got somebody else. But, you know, when you're an established singer like that, it would almost be demeaning to try to make yourself sound like the original guy.
Right.
But for somebody who's young and building a name for themselves, because Great White's not going to be around forever, but this young dude can catapult himself off of that one.
Yeah, he'll get a gig for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, bounce on to the next thing eventually.
Mm-hmm. Or start his own thing, and then it'll be legit because he has a foundation from a professional band. And, like, a brief thing, like Angel Black, I don't mimic John Kason, who, you know, my friend that passed away. I do my own thing.
You have to.
And he was a great singer, too. I mean, he sings high. It's a challenge, and it makes me have to work. And that's what's exciting, is because I have to, you know what I mean?
Right.
I have to pay attention, because it's not my own. we're writing, but you know what I'm saying? My whole point is that I'm trying to do what and honor what he did, but in my way.
Right, yeah.
Because that's what you got to do, and I understand that. But if that guy's killing it, just like Jack Russell, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm, like I said, really looking forward to see what that new album is going to be like.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah. So all kinds of cool stuff going on all the time. So what you guys are here in Nashville for an awards show.
Yes.
What is that all about?
Go ahead, Iggy.
That's the Jossie Music Awards, the ninth, actually. It's the ninth year that they've been doing this. And back in, what was it, May, that we got that letter saying that we were nominated for Best Rock Band of the Year. And we were like, oh, shit, cool. We're flying Nashville.
Oh, man.
So that's going to happen tomorrow. The gala red carpet starts at 4, and then at 5 the gala begins. So it's all the nominees, all the categories. It's big.
You guys going to be walking the red carpet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Ray's got to do her hair today.
Yeah, I got to curl my locks and paint my nails like Iggy.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you got to.
Mine are blanco.
Honestly, white. I mean, we're super excited. We're honored. And, I mean, it's a big opportunity for us also to meet all the people.
Right.
And bring the Dawn of the Rising name here in Nashville. So, definitely, and we're looking forward to it. And, also getting to know more, a little bit more of Nashville. There's so many things here to see, so much music culture.
Music City, yeah. Man. Like, it's intense, and I know these bands make money because out there I was listening, and they're like, oh, if you want to hear a song, $20, make it happen.
Plus the tips.
I'm like, are you kidding me, man?
And that's the thing, though. These musicians down here are so fucking good that if somebody puts, say, a $50 bill and puts in I Am Just a Boy off The Elder, they're going to fucking go in the back, listen to it on YouTube one time, and go, okay, and go back out and figure out how to play
it. Saw that.
Yeah. Like that, you know? So
oh, man, I didn't hear a bad note last night.
Yeah.
All the bands, all the bars, country or not, it don't matter. I respect anything that's professional as a musician. I don't dog anybody that can play, and you know they're legit. You got to give respect if you're a real musician because that's what it is. And these guys, I have to say, man, the talent in Tennessee is 100% legit. And bring your A game, United States. If you think you got it tight, you better practice again because these boys here are bringing it.
Yeah, I see guys down at the bus stop all the time as I'm rolling past on my way to work with their guitars waiting for the bus to take them back home.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's just amazing. That's what I really took in last night was the culture of the music. And the way that one band will just play any genre, and that's just the way they make money, and they make good money. Obviously, they're getting paid for being there, plus $20 a song.
Right.
And plus when we were leaving Kid Rock, the main band on the main floor on that 20-foot stage or whatever it was, they were like, "All right, if you want to hear Freebird," they're like, "Boo," because they probably heard it a million times. They're like, boo, but well, he's like, but one person wanted it, and they like, you're going to have to give us more than $100 to play that.
And they actually made the quota.
And and he goes, or no, he said, we're going to need $100 to play that. And then he goes, we're going to play it. We got $200 to play fucking Freebird, and I'm going to play the guitar myself.
Right. That was it.
For you, for that.
Wow.
And he was the singer. You know what I mean? So he just went and grabbed a guitar, I guess, because we left. We were leaving. We were going, excuse me, fuck.
Gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Before that song. No, just kidding. I love Leonard Skinner.
We kind of heard when they started playing the song. We were like, oh, shit, they did it.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just amazed. Drop of a hat. Boom, I know it. Let's do it. Let's go. And then we went to this little bar, Doc Holliday's.
Okay. Yeah.
And just two dudes on acoustic. One sang and played, and one just played.
Yeah, they
not a bad note out of those dudes either. And they're on acoustic with no, they're not hiding behind any effects or no delay, no auto tune.
They were playing from,
you know what I mean?
Alice in Chains up to country songs, and I was like,
everything you wanted. And by request for $20.
And every single bar, every single place down on Broadway has pretty much got it.
Yeah.
You're like, you walk past windows, like, there's a band. You walk past the windows, there's a band, you know?
Right. What I thought was funny is I saw a sign. I took a picture of it. Please don't do coke in the bathroom. I was like, son of a bitch. I had to take a picture of that.
That's funny. You got to put up a sign.
Literally. Yeah. And that was at Doc Holliday's upstairs. It's like a small fuck. You've been there, right?
I don't think so.
Well, it's a tiny club, bro.
Maybe have.
Tiny.
There was another sign.
It's like
20
by 10 and then a stairway spiral up to the next floor, which is by maybe 30 by 10. And then the bathroom. And the bar, that's it. And people just cram up in this. And then, and that's where the sign was. And it was neon.
Wow.
Please, red neon. Please don't do coke in the bathroom. I'll show you the picture before
that's
you leave.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, this
there
is.
There was another funny sign saying that you got to wash your hands no matter if you're white, black, Indian, alien, whatever the fuck you are. But all, just wash your fucking hands.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much shit. Yeah,
so we're taking in the culture, you know.
Nice, yeah.
It's so funny. I'm glad I didn't live here in the 80s or I'd probably be dead.
Yeah, yeah. But there wasn't a lot of rock and roll in Nashville back then, they say.
Yeah, it was more, yeah, but still Johnny Cash, I'm sure he partied.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. You know he did.
Yeah.
He owned the town.
They made a movie about it.
Yeah, literally. And the perfect guy played it.
Yeah? No, it was a cool movie. I haven't watched that in a while.
Yeah, it's walking the line. Walking the
that's
line.
That's right.
Or walk the line. Walk the line.
That's it.
That's the lyric, I'm guessing.
Heck yeah, man. I'm glad you guys are here. It's been so fun hanging out with you. It sucks that Chris isn't here.
Yeah.
He's got
hey, bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah, bless him, man. And I know he's here in spirit and in heart. I know he wants to be here.
Yeah, he does.
I seen he hearted everything. And,
yeah.
And I understand because personal things happen. And we know. We know how it is.
But there was a challenge laid out, and I do have this big silver quarter here.
Okay.
And I did make up Beat the Geek questions.
Okay.
All right.
And I didn't let Iggy look at them when you went to get your drink.
Okay.
I mean, hey, don't look at those.
That's top secret.
So now it's only down to you guys. I have to be the host.
Okay.
So at risk of breaking up Dawn of the Rising the night before the big awards show, you guys are going to have to face each other.
Okay.
All right.
It's on, Iggy.
All right. All right.
We'll be friends after. No, just kidding.
Good. I hope so.
You know how it is. You fight your big brother.
Right.
Yeah.
You're having a beer at the end of the night.
I got to run to the car real quick and grab a pen.
Okay.
So I can keep score.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to be back after this great advertisement.
Dawn of the Rising. No, just kidding. We want to pay homage to our missing friend upstairs, Kristen Dawn, in the room.
I was going to say, you guys were watching me say, you know, I can hear it later when I edit.
Right.
All right, so in this beautiful outdoor setting,
dun, dun, dun.
We're going to perform the greatest game show of all time, and that is Beat the Geek. Now, as we said, unfortunately, we don't have the geek with us today. So, like you say, pulling for Chris Sinzak. He'll be back real quick. Don't you guys worry. But in the meantime, we're going to play a little Beat the Geek. You guys are going to face each other. So I say, well, how do we decide who the geek is in this? Who goes first? So I brought with me my big giant silver quarter.
Okay.
So somebody's going to have to call it.
Iggy, you tails. Call it. You're yeah, call you it. Call it.
Iggy's calling tails. I'm going to give it a spin. And it is tails.
Yep, that's tails.
All right.
All right, Iggy.
You're the geek.
You're the geek.
All right. And that's all a good right. thing on this show.
That's right.
That's an honor.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Special edition. Dawn of the Rising. The cracks in the armor begin right here.
How much do we really not know?
Right.
Right.
So you guys know the rules. I'm going to ask a question. This time we're going to start with Iggy. I'm going to ask him the question before I give him the four choices of the answers. Ray, I'm going to ask you, and you guys actually know each other pretty good, so this should be interesting to see if you think you know what the other one knows.
Okay.
You're going to get a chance to bet against him.
Okay.
If he gets it right, he gets 2 points if you bet against him. If you bet against him, he gets it wrong, you get his point. If you don't bet against him, he gets it wrong, no points awarded.
Okay.
Of course, if he gets it right and you don't bet against him, the point's all his.
Okay.
So I've got 11 questions, of course, because this is the game show that goes to 11.
Right on.
It's Beat the Geek. So here we go. Question number one goes to Iggy. In 2004, when the band Warrant reunited without longtime vocalist Janie Lane, they chose the singer from this band to be his replacement. Now, Ray, I'm going to give him four choices. I'm going to list four bands that Warrant picked to replace Janie Lane when they reunited without him in 2004.
Okay.
What do you think Iggy knows about Warrant in 2004? Oh, Iggy, you got
it. I'm going to bet against him.
Yeah, that's a hell of a game face right there.
You're not supposed to give me a tip like that.
Yeah,
you're supposed to have a poker face right now.
A poker face, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't see that.
Poker
but
face,
when
poker,
I,
poker
when
face.
When I asked about his knowledge, Warren, he gave a thumbs down and raised
right.
Like, oh, yeah, I'll bet against him.
I'll take that.
So here we go. Your choices for the band that Warrant took to replace Janie Lane's lead singer. Was it Love Hate, Kingdom Come, Black and Blue, or Shotgun Messiah?
Oh, you got me there. I will go with Shotgun Messiah.
That is incorrect.
Bang.
Bang. They chose Jamie St. James from Black and Blue, and they recorded the album Born Again, but that was the only one they did with him because it was kind of sucked.
Did it?
I was disappointed. I love Janie Lane, though.
Yeah.
You know?
I opened for them back in the day. With Janie Lane, probably one of the last. It was 97-ish, so I don't know how long he was in the band after that, but he sang well.
Yeah.
I mean, really good.
Yeah.
I was impressed, and I actually became a Warrant fan because I didn't hate him, but I didn't, like, wasn't a big fan
right.
Because it was just poppy kind of stuff, really. And when I saw him live, I was a huge fan.
Yeah,
and I still
awesome.
Am. I still am.
I seen him live when he had the pink mohawk. In the late 90s, but he still sang like a motherfucker out there.
Yeah, that's win. So yeah, that's win.
Right on. All right, Iggy, you were bet against, and you got it wrong.
Yep.
Better hide your emotions a little better next time.
yeah. Poker face, remember?
Poker face all the time now.
So that means Ray got your point, and now the next question goes to you, Ray. Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax are considered the big four of American thrash metal. Did you know that Germany has their own official Big Four of thrash metal? Three of the following bands hold that distinction, but one of them does not belong. So, Iggy, I'm going to give them four choices of thrash metal bands. Three of them are Germany's top four. Do you think he knows his German thrash metal, or do you want to bet against him?
Let's bet against him.
Okay. All right. The stakes are high. On Beat the Geek, I like it. So the German Big Four of thrash metal. Your choices are Destruction, Tankard, Sodom, and Celtic Frost. Which of the four does not belong?
Celtic Frost.
That is correct.
Dun, dun, dun.
Celtic Frost is a Swiss band.
Yes.
Do you know who the fourth of the Big Four of German thrash is?
I do not.
It's Creator.
Oh, man, that's a good one, too.
But you got it right, and you were bet against. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ray, you're not even working hard, but you're already up.
Yeah.
3-0.
Sorry.
Hey, it's early in this one. We haven't even got to the Kiss round yet.
Right.
I'm curious to see how you guys feel about the Kiss round.
I love it, but I'm scared, too, because I was huge on two albums.
All right. Well, we'll keep going here. We're only at question number three. It goes back to you, Iggy. And it is this. Leather Charm was the name of a short-lived band that broke up in 1981. Only a few months later, the lead singer and bass player would meet a new drummer and form this well-known metal band. So out of the ashes of Leather Charm is born this band. Ray, do you think he knows it, or do you want to bet against him? You got a 3-0 lead.
I'll bet against him.
Yeah. I like it. I I like it. Leather charm, Iggy. Sound familiar?
How you doing, beautiful?
No? Okay. Well, these are your choices. Metallica, Queensryche, Man of War, or Tesla?
I think it was Man of War.
That is incorrect. Actually, the guys in Leather Charm was James Hetfield and Ron McGovney.
Oh,
they
yes.
meet up with Lars
You're
in
right.
81.
And he's a Metallica. He's huge right. in Metallica. Yeah. Well, that's something now you know.
Yeah, that's some back history right there that I didn't know.
The song Hit the Lights was originally a Leather Charm song.
Because Lynch and Hammett are his two favorites.
Yeah. Lynch and Hammett are some of my favorites. That's 100%.
And my son, Justin, is Slash and Hammett.
Well,
Ray's kicking it.
You were bet against, and you got it wrong. Look at this. Yeah. Ray's running away with it. 5-0. Wow.
Sorry.
All right, Ray. The question comes back to you now from number 4. In 1991, Alice Cooper released his 12th full-length studio album, Hey Stupid. This album featured a bunch of guest stars, including Nikki Sixx, Joe Satriani, Slash, Steve Vai, and all of the following, except... So, Iggy, I'm going to give him 4 choices. 3 of the 4 were on the album Hey Stupid. One of them was not.
Okay.
Ray's got to figure out which one it wasn't. And I got to know. You're way behind, man.
Yeah. Got to catch up.
You probably want to bet against him.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. All right, Ray. Which of the following was not on Hey Stupid? Ozzy Osbourne, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Mick Mars, or Dee Snider?
Dee Snider.
That is correct. Oh, man.
I'm getting trashed.
So you got it right, and you were bet against. Wow, this might be the biggest upset in Decibel Geek history.
Except for the one day you did.
Oh, yeah. The second best.
Right.
Even Chris Sinzak, I made that sucker. I made those questions impossible for him, and he still got a handful of them right.
I know. That's why I was like, can I get beat by the geek?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky Amazing. He's not here. Thank you, Iggy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like...
Or it'd be the other way around.
Right. Anybody that's ever faced Chris Sinzak on Beat the Geek and won, I feel like really got lucky.
Right. Some it's luck sometimes.
Yeah. I beat him once. I can't believe it. I put it on my resume.
There you go. Yeah, you got to say highlight that episode.
Yeah.
All right. So, Iggy, we got some work to do here, my man. But you got a chance to score some points here. This question goes to you. Glenn Hughes is one of the greatest singers and bass players of our time. As well as releasing many studio albums over the years, he's also been a member of Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, California Breed, Black Country Communion, and the Dead Daisies. Before joining Deep Purple in 1973, Hughes released 3 albums with this band. So, the first band that ever puts Glenn Hughes on the map before he gets picked up by Deep Purple. They released 3 albums, so they had a little something going for him. Ray, do you think he knows his Glenn Hughes? He got a hell of a lead.
Maybe. Glenn Hughes is huge, great singer, killer bass. He's probably the best bass player and the best singer.
Yeah.
He can hold both titles. He makes you want to drop the mic and quit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. I don't want to bet against him out of mercy.
Oh. Is it mercy or is it pity, Iggy?
I think both. A little bit of both.
So the band that originally put Glenn Hughes on the map, was it Trapeze, Uriah Heep, Foghat, or Wishbone Ash?
Uriah Heep. Yes. That's my answer, I guess.
That is incorrect.
Ah.
Oh. The band is Trapeze. They released 3 albums, I think, starting like in 1969.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, it's some cool stuff.
I didn't know that
one. It's pretty good, especially
for its
time.
It's cool how you come up with these, man.
Yeah.
You have to do your homework. I don't know how you hold a real job and do that.
I don't know either.
Even myself.
And coming up with the game show for us, that's awesome, bro, for you to take that time.
Oh, hey, and honestly, I'm learning things right now that I didn't know. So
Absolutely.
If you're ever on anybody else's rock and roll game show, you can tell them, hey, your show sucks compared to Beat the Geek. And I already know all the answers.
This is the only game show I like, period.
This ain't my first rodeo.
Right.
All right, Iggy. You were... Oh, no, you weren't bet against, but you did get it wrong, so no points awarded. What? Score remains 7-0. Oh, man.
Oh, shit. I'm taking a beating.
Okay. I hope you know a little something about Kiss, because, I mean, if you're going to turn it around, you better do it soon. We're not quite there yet. We got a couple more questions.
But the Kiss round, you get more.
Yeah, double the points in the Kiss round.
So you could come back and knock me off the chair.
And kiss my ass.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
All right, so the next question, number 6, goes back to Ray. Pretty simple. Which of the following legendary lead guitarists is the most elderly? I'm going to give him a choice of 4 well-known lead guitarists that we all know and love. He's going to tell me which one's the oldest, if he dares. I know you're going to bet against him.
Oh,
I'm not even going to ask. Yeah.
You got that's there already.
It's do or die. It's do or die on Beat the Geek. Ray, your choices. Which of these is the oldest? Is it George Lynch, Tracy Guns, Warren DeMartini, or Jakey Lee?
Jakey Lee.
That is incorrect. Youngest is Tracy Guns, 57. Then Warren DeMartini from Rat at 60. Jakey Lee, 66.
And George is 69.
George Lynch is 69.
Yeah, see, you knew that one. See, your boy brought you some points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome. So
shout out to George Lynch for Iggy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Iggy, you're on the board, man.
I got a point.
You got a point. So at least it's not a blowout. We know that. But
right on. You don't leave with a goose egg.
It's magic.
Actually, George turned 69 a couple weeks back.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I sent him a...
Damn, I'm slacking on my...
Send him a birthday card?
Yeah, no, I sent him a Facebook happy birthday.
Nice.
Yeah, I had the pleasure and the honor of meeting him last year.
Yeah?
And we at spent the about, show at the 44, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. And I spent about probably an hour just talking with him and having a few beers.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Great person. I was surprised.
Nice.
He kind of delayed the show a little bit because he just kept on talking with me and having beers. Yeah. That was a really bucket list.
That's the
experience.
One with Andrew Freeman, sure. Man. I was like stoked.
Nice.
That guy sang well.
All right. Well, the score is 7-1.
Okay.
Iggy's just beginning his giant comeback.
Okay.
It's going to be magical.
Yeah. Biggest comeback on Geek.
Yeah. Hey, you got the potential to do it here. Next question goes to Ray. Which of the following bands? Hell yeah. Picture of Iggy hanging out with George.
Sweet.
Very cool.
At the 44 in Glendale, 44. Arizona.
Yep.
Nice. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
So cool.
Sports grill and nightlife.
Yeah. Don't let nobody bother us except for the waitress. I'm hanging out with my pal Iggy.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, here we go. Question number 7. This one's pretty simple, too. And this one's going to Ray. The big lead. Which of the following bands was formed before the rest? We're looking for the band that's been around the longest. One of these has been around longer than the rest. Iggy, you're betting against them, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
So your choices are these. Guns N' Roses, White Zombie, Extreme, or The Cult.
They've been around the last?
The longest.
The
which
longest?
One's been around? Which one was formed before the others?
What's the lineup again?
Guns N' Roses, White Zombie, Extreme, or The Cult?
The Cult.
That is correct. GNR, White Zombie, Extreme, all formed in 1985. The Cult, formed in 1983. Oh, man.
that's a draw right there.
You got it right, and you were bet against. Woo! 9-1. 9-1, Iggy.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell? Let's play the rest of the game.
Oh, for sure.
Why not? Because we're in the Kiss round.
Dun, woo! Dun, dun.
Double the points. All right. Question number 8 goes to Iggy. The rapper Tone Loc sampled this Kiss song on his 1989 hit Funky Cole Medina. He sampled a Kiss song for that one. It was a huge hit for him back in 1989. Ray, and you got a huge lead. Do you pity him?
Yep.
You want to give him a chance?
I'm not going to. I won't bet against him. All right. Next.
You're not being bet against. I'm just going to assume from here on out, yeah. you're not, yeah. but you are.
Yeah.
Literally. Literally.
Funky Cole Medina. You familiar with that
yeah,
one?
I remember right. that song.
So, which song was it? Was it Detroit Rock City, Christine 16, Love Gun, or Shout It Out Loud?
Detroit, Sin City. Was a
Rock City.
Rock City, yeah.
That's incorrect.
Oh, shit.
Ray, you know it?
What's the question again?
What Kiss song was sampled by Tone Loc for Funky Cole Medina?
A Funky Cole Medina.
And which were the songs?
Oh, we know it wasn't Detroit Rock City. So yeah. we got Christine 16, Love Gun, and Shout It Out Loud.
Love Gun.
Incorrect. It was Christine 16.
Oh, okay. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. I don't think I heard it.
I heard it, son. I've
heard Tone Loc.
It on my mind, but...
But, the main one.
Well, snap. You got it wrong, and you were bet against. Yeah. Iggy got a point. We're bringing it back.
Hell yeah.
Slowly.
Right on,
slowly
Iggy.
Slowly crawling back up.
Bring it back.
Wait a minute. It's double the points.
Yeah, Iggy, so 2 points.
Yeah, there
it's
go,
a kiss
man.
Round.
Oh, snap.
Shit, I'm kissing ass now.
All right, kiss round question for you, Ray. For the 1977 album Love Gun, Gene Simmons brought in demo versions of the songs Christine 16 and Got Love for Sale. On the demo versions of these songs that would end up being performed by Kiss for the album, this well-known rocker provided lead guitar. Who played lead guitar on the demos for Christine 16 and Got Love for Sale? Everybody knows them. Everybody loves them. Iggy, you're betting against them.
Yep.
That's something. Ray, your choices. Who was in the studio with Gene putting together these songs for Love Gun? Was it Joe Perry, Angus Young, Eddie Van Halen, or Michael Schenker?
Michael Schenker.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, really?
And Alex Van Halen, too.
Really?
Those demos are out there.
Damn.
Those guys playing on those songs.
Damn, I got to look that up.
I think it was on the vault.
Damn.
Iggy.
Yeah, coming back. Double.
Boom, look at that.
I
2 points for you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm only 4 points behind.
Yeah.
Now I don't feel so bad.
We still got 2 questions to go. Is it mathematically possible? I don't have the time to figure out, so let's just see. So we're back to normal points now. That was the kiss round. That was very profitable for you, Iggy.
Oh, yes,
that worked
was.
Out really good. So the next question goes back to you.
Dun, dun, dun.
This well-known rock band took their name from the legend of a prostitute that was known to mutilate her clients with an axe. A legend.
Wow.
I'm going to give you 4 choices of bands you're not being bet against. Ray don't want you to get those points. Your choices are Greta Van Fleet, Alice Cooper, Molly Hatchet, or Brittany Fox.
Molly Hatchet.
That is correct. Kind of a gimme, right?
Yeah.
You know?
The name Hatchet.
That was
right.
Pretty cool. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Look at that. You were bet against. Oh, no, you weren't bet against.
No. Nope.
But you got it right, so you got a point.
Yeah.
So now we're 6-9, and we've got 1 question left to go.
The Royal Rumble has begun.
And the last one goes back to Ray.
Okay.
In 2006, Dimebag Darrell, Vinnie Paul, and Rex Brown teamed up with this legendary country music icon to release the album Rebel Meets Rebel. Gotta get them points. Here we go. I think you might be able to tie it. Pantera, you're teaming up with a country singer. Was it Johnny Cash, Kenny Rogers, Waylon Jennings, or David Allan Coe?
David Allan Coe.
That is correct. You were bet against.
I loved that. That was an awesome...
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was different.
I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. I did too. Most of it I liked.
I love Southern rock, man, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
I love it, you know? Molly Hatchet, all of them, you know what I mean?
I've just been getting into a lot of that recently, like, say, Molly Hatchet. I never really, other than
Black this, Oak,
like,
Arkansas is Black. Coming to the 44 where I work.
Nice.
Yeah, they're coming
old
soon.
Jim Dandy.
Yeah.
To the rescue.
Yeah.
Man, you could have used Jim Dandy to the rescue for this game, Iggy.
Yeah.
It was a tough one. Final score on this one is 11-6, but
Hey.
Hey, you brought it back pretty good. Got off to a slow start, but he brought it back. But Ray, man, it was all on your side for this one.
Thank you, Chris, for not showing up. I thought I was going to lose this.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you, Iggy.
All right. Awesome, man. That was fun, though.
Yeah, that was.
And definitely learned something.
Yeah, I learned a lot, actually.
I learned more by putting together those questions than just about anything.
Yeah, pretty soon you're going to be giving Chris competition.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just doing that research.
Yeah.
Already beat him once.
Yeah, he probably has to be at home studying all the time now going, God damn it, Camaro's going to catch up.
Someday I'm going to get that rematch. I'm sure. Every day
I'm looking forward for that.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of those, back in the days, those Sugar Ray Leonard fights. The super fights.
Yeah.
Super fight one, no, super fight two, then the third one. Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Best of three.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's pretty cool. That was a lot of fun. I'm so glad you guys are in town. I got to come hang out with you.
Oh, definitely, man. Thank you, man.
To finally meet you guys in person, face to face.
It's awesome. Yep.
So do you have, other than you got one song to finish up, is there any kind of deadline? Or is it just, hey, when Decibel Geek tells
you
it's ready,
Iggy's got his foot up my ass right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as I get back, I'm going to go back into the studio, open it up, you know, my program. And then make sure everything's perfect track-wise.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to send it straight to Brandon and have it mastered. It'll come back, you know, within however long he has, you know, because he's going through things. So it's up to him. As soon as we get it back, I can get it to him digitally. And then we're going to get a game plan. So I would say what?
I'll be there, say, probably by the end of the year or early 2024.
Maybe January, February?
Yeah.
Okay, all
right. I mean, we're already...
Might as well slap 24 on it, so it'll be good for a year.
Yeah, there you go.
But we got to fire up our ass, because we already know it's taking too long for this record.
Yeah.
We know that. I had a lot of personal problems in my life that held it up, but now I'm trying to dust that off, get this shit out and done. But we already have two songs going towards the third album.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We're not putting them on this one, obviously, because this is overdue.
Put all the
so the deadline's on this one. Now we're still writing, and we have one totally finished and done, ready for the next one, and one potentially my son, Justin Kuhn, already wrote out. Yeah. Oh, real quick, shout out to Justin Kuhn, Chris Keener, and Ricky Page. We love you guys.
We miss you.
We miss you. You're here in heart.
Yeah, you're being...
And we'll try to rep.
You're being well represented here in Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so we have those two for the next third album. We know that one's got to come rapidly. Like you said, if you want to keep relevant, you have to keep putting out material these days, because that's the way it works.
100%. And another thing that, I mean, I'm happy, but we've been busy, like having shows maybe 2-3 times a month, and that also takes time off the studio from finishing the album. I mean, we've been trying to balance everything in order to get the album out, but also keeping up with our schedule and our bookings and all that. So it's been a fun ride this year.
Right on, man. I'm glad to hear you guys are active and you got new music coming our way soon, and I know a lot of the listeners that have been turned on to your band, just like Chris and I have been turned on to them, and then, you know, turn it to everybody else, and so many people love you guys. It's pretty cool,
you know. Thank you, man.
And it's awesome.
Really,
like I said,
so many
times. And I know you guys got a long history in rock and roll and metal and bands and playing music and everything. But Dawn of the Rising, something special. You know, you guys come together, made something really, really good. And you know, whenever I hear people talking about, like, well, what kind of bands are there nowadays? You know, I just listen to the old shit. I go, man, there are bands out there. And I always drop you guys as an example, especially for somebody who loves heavier music. You know, and I say, there's a new band out there right now in Arizona called Dawn of the Rising. Check them out. It's on YouTube, you know. Follow them. And I always hear back, and they go, yeah, I did listen to that band, and they're pretty damn good. I said, I told you, you know. There are new bands out there that are doing it right now.
And we're seeing it in the numbers all of a sudden. I mean, our Facebook following has increased, or even our YouTube channel, and our hits on Spotify.
And if you don't mind, we're going to put you in the credits on this as, you know, a thank you, you know, to you guys for what you've done for us, along with the radio stations we mentioned earlier.
On our website also, as part of our partners, we got an area with our partners like Dean Guitars, Dear Strings,
Clayton. Oh, nice.
You right, guys right. Are also there. So check our website.
The 44
is the also club, there.
Because she's been good to us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's
and, the we're going to be doing Trickster in March.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You 44. Guys are opening for Trickster.
Yes. I know. But, hey.
No, it's cool. It's yeah. cool. I ain't saying nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another opportunity, another door that
right,
opens.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We just did that Saliva. That was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. We did Josie Scott Saliva about a month ago, actually.
I bet pretty... you that audience received you guys pretty good, huh?
Yeah, he was actually a really good dude.
Yeah.
Again, I wasn't a huge fan.
Right.
I liked it, but yeah. I wasn't like, oh, great, you know. But when I met him and listening to him live again and how deep that guy is writing-wise, it's not beer and chicks and
right.
you know what I'm saying? He's really deep, and now I am a fan.
And funny story, I mean.
And meeting him, he's a great dude.
Right after the show, we were hanging out, and we just had laughs and laughs coming over. We had a great time with Joseph Scott.
Nice. That's cool. I'm glad to hear that. Trickster, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. How's the audience going to take you there? You know, you guys are ready. Oh, you're the black and some spikes.
We're going to leave Merchants of Chaos.
You're going to jump out there and leave something heavy. It's going to be a bunch of ladies clutching their purses.
Hold it tight when he walks by.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a tentative with Firewind.
Yeah?
Which is more modern in our style.
Right
like,
on.
But that's not confirmed, so. We can't really spit that game yet.
All right.
But there's a few things in the cook works.
Right on.
Right now, and it's good.
That's just the next one on the books as far as that. But we are playing a Halloween party at my son Justin Kuhn that's in the band.
Yeah.
His uncle Mario Paul Amarez is throwing a Halloween party.
He's been doing that for years, and he's been
next
on our
weekend
ass, like,
on,
two and a half
on
years.
The 28th.
I want you guys to play
a little Halloween party.
Yeah, it's a private show. It's a private show.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. But it's at his house, really nice house in Chandler, Arizona. You know, it's a nice suburb of that area.
And then
and
we got
it's going to be pulled brisket or pulled pork brisket. So we're stoked.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You guys dressing up as Dawn of the Rising?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then after that one, what's the other show that we got booked after the Mario's?
Oh, we got the Christmas thing in Brian Mo.
Oh, yes. We got the Toys for Tots run.
Yeah, which is a thing where they give... toys to children. Ryan Mogul set all that up too. Like I said, he's a great guy, man.
That's
this
like,
dude's heart
this
is as big
our,
as this tree right here behind
this
us.
This will be our third year doing the Toys for Tots run.
That's cool. Yeah, John Karabi and Anthony Corder just did one of those kind of things here where they, you know, because Christmas is coming up right around the corner, you know, every year comes.
Yeah, so
faster.
They collect all those toys as.
Yeah, Brian
entrance,
Mogul and Onk Alien. That's his band name. They're the ones putting.
So
Toys for Tots.
Instead of charging entrance or anything like that on
you
that
bring
event,
a toy or
you bring a toy
decent,
and then you sit and watch the bands and all that. And then after the show is done, they take those toys to the Phoenix Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then they distribute those.
Right on. That's
so
awesome.
It's a good cause, and we're always open on you know, helping and giving back that way.
That's cool.
Yeah, we're down to do any kind of support for anything that's a great cancer, you know, et cetera. My brother died
of
cancer. My mom died of emphysema. I mean, so we try to support anyone.
Any of those real,
you know, that needs help or we'll donate our time.
It's our way to give back, you know.
That's cool, man.
Same for the military. I mean,
we respect the military, obviously.
We've been with the NBR, Military Broadcast Radio, and they've been supporting us. We support them back.
Yeah, and Jen and Midnight.
Midnight Moon or Midnight with Moon. Yeah, Jen, it's been great with us. Max,
big shout out to anybody that's serving in the military overseas that's listening to this, because I know that when we look at our numbers on Decibel Geek and it says, oh, you're kind of big here and you're kind of big there, you know, and it's like that's got to be armed service people stationed around the world listening to us. So if that's you, we appreciate you very much.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
Yeah, on your podcast side and our music side, We support our troops 100%.
And I know you guys got people following you from all over the planet,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, and we respect Ralph Mueller for and all the radio networks he has with him that support us around the world, Germany, Australia, Colorado, the UK, and Wind in Darkness radio in the UK. Big shout-outs to them and thank yous, you know.
Right on.
Because they're the ones like you that help support our engine to get across the world, you know, and we try.
Oh, yeah, there we are on the website. So what is the website? How do people find it?
You can go to www.donaldrising.com or donaldrisingmusic.com.
Simple.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Keep up with the updates if you're in the Arizona area.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are obviously all playing around.
Yeah.
So you can catch them. Go to the website. You guys are on Facebook, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. give
that's our main hub. Yeah. He does Instagram too.
Yeah.
But you can find us on Facebook. I know it's old school, but that's how we roll.
That's how we do it too.
Right. And we got the Facebook page. We got our official website, digital platforms. Even though on their YouTube, you can find us on the Dawn of the Rising. Yeah, the channel got its own name finally after reaching
we had to fight because they tried to take it from us.
Really?
Yeah, and say, you can't use this anymore, and we had to go through the red tape and get it back because I had a issue with my card for paying.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working for some reason, so the bill went by, and then they wouldn't give us back our name.
Oh, shit.
When I fixed the card issue, I was like, yo, I need to pay this immediately. I said, it's already overdue, and it for some reason, it wasn't going through. It was a prepaid card, so there was an issue.
At that point, that type of, because it's one of those hosting companies that they kind of provide you like an EPK, whatever.
Right.
But it's a pain. It's a hassle. So I kind of took over.
Yeah.
And the people that know me, I mean, I've been doing IT for 27 years.
Yeah.
So I went like, you
it
know
needed
what?
Iggy's services.
Yeah.
So I went in and just grabbed everything.
I went in and fucked it up, and he had to fix it.
I officially bought the domain, bought the hosting, and got the page up and running in a day.
Nice.
Yeah. No, and it's...
And I am the one also keeping the updates on the page, uploading new material, pictures, banners for
our
the
new record, Win, Lose, or Draw will be on there. Plus, you know, all the outlets, you know, Spotify, etc., iTunes,
all these platforms.
Or what is it now? Apple Music. It's not
Apple
iTunes
Music.
No longer.
Basically,
right?
All digital platforms. I mean, normally you get the bigger.
We also have our Pandora station if you want to listen to us, and every band that's like us, because they pretty much play everything that we're influenced by. Automatically, and that's cool because I'll listen to our own Pandora because I hear all the songs I love from the bands that I grew up on. And it's kind of cool
adding,
to hear that, you know.
You've been adding artists on that that station, and all of a sudden, I mean, you get Dawn of the Rising, you get probably Metallica, you get Metallica, you get the Lynch Mob, Doc, and all the good stuff,
right? Yeah,
and all of a sudden,
that's gotta be kind of a cool feeling, you know? Oh, artificial intelligence is smart enough to know that we belong
it does,
with these.
It kind of
it's cool. I'm like, whoa,
the algorithm, how it works on the back end. Well, I don't know that part, but I know that it kind of captures similar genre or similar artists, and it starts piling up, and all of a sudden, the station, all of a sudden, like I said, you get all the good stuff playing plus our songs.
Nice.
My theory of that is there's a wave, right? And a fingerprint to every song, and that's how you're noted for. That's how they account for you in a BMI and
ASCAP.
That's how they keep track of your records as far as your royalties, and they track your wave and your frequencies,
and I
think that's maybe how they do it, because it's similar ones.
Yeah.
Because the type of music,
and also keep in mind that on the back end there's the what they call the tagging on the songs, plus your ISRC numbers are there, so that's how that ISRC number is a unique code for your song. So if it gets played,
that's how it gets recognized on the billboard, you know.
Right.
And so
it's too much shit going on the back end that people don't know. And we have to be sitting down and learn about that before releasing.
Right.
And
if you want to go on that level and really fuck with it, you know?
Yeah. Because I mean, anybody can record and release, but how you keep track of that?
Yeah.
That's okay, we got to learn how does this work, right, and also to protect our music.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the number one thing.
You don't want anybody. Just go ahead and, just snatch the song and copyright it themselves. No, fuck no. That's right. Our shit.
Yeah. Hey, that's War Pigs, you fuckers. Yeah. You know?
So, yeah, we've been
learning.
And
we can't afford to be sued, so we write our own.
Yeah. Yeah. You but know? It's an interesting world behind all that. I mean, it's not just recording and releasing it.
Yeah,
you got to protect your material.
Well, that's first and foremost. And once we get this last song, that's all we got to do before we release something. And like we were speaking earlier, you know, single at a time, because that's how they do it these days. And then the kids, otherwise they'll swipe your whole record, and it's over. You drop it now, and it's done.
I mean,
it's one and done. Next week, that record's old. But if you do one song at a time,
and then release the album as a full at the end, save a couple of songs for the last final thing. Yeah.
So right now, what we've been doing in the last couple of years, because we've been working on this new album for a while, it's releasing by kind of droplets. So we didn't release the music digitally, but the videos are out there. For example, One Step and Soldiers, which are our latest videos, are from this album. But they're already out.
Right, yeah.
So we're getting a little bit of, feeding the audience with what's coming.
Sure.
Breadcrumbs.
And leaving them wanting a little more.
Oh, yeah.
Breadcrumbs. And we've been getting a lot of really good response from Soldiers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I bet you are.
I've even had other bands, hey, can we play that? And I'm like, not yet. Yeah. Wait till we're legit.
Yeah, then you can start.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's a new song we wrote. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. So
right now, the only tribute band playing Dawn of the Rising is Dawn of the Rising.
That's the way it's
For now. We're the Dawn of the Rising tribute band.
Yeah. Exactly.
For now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right on, guys. Well, good luck at the awards show.
Thank you.
I hope you win it.
Appreciate it.
And I'll come back with an update and let everybody know.
That would be awesome. Brother.
That you guys won.
And you know, I feel honestly, I'm weird. I feel like just being nominated and our name being there is a win for me because,
absolutely.
Like I said, you can't take a trophy with you, but you can take the recognition for the art that we created. Yeah. That's in your heart with you. So we already won because I already got the only thing I can take with me when I go. But now we can get a monetary trophy and put it on our shelf, which would be cool too and exciting while we're alive. But I feel like we already won. And being here, meeting you, experiencing this beautiful city in Nashville, Tennessee.
I agree.
And I feel like we created a new friend in Nashville.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? I like it here. I was even telling these guys, fuck, I wouldn't mind living here.
Yeah,
honestly.
No, it's a cool place to live. I like Nashville. So I guess the best we can do is hope like hell that Jethro Tull doesn't show up at the awards show. I think you guys got it.
Unless he's giving us our award, you know?
Well, definitely. I mean, I stick with Ray in that. I mean, when we got that letter, it was exciting. It was shocking because we were not expecting it. And honestly, I mean, just being nominated, we feel honored. It's a privilege. And if we win the award, that will be like an extra thing. Right. For me already.
The cherry on the cake.
Right. If we don't get the physical award, I mean, just being here and representing all the people that have been supporting us through the years, that's for me the top, you know, that. It's an honor, and honestly, I mean, we're humble about this, but oh shit.
Yeah.
So cool.
It'll be exciting.
It is something.
It's the first, honestly, my first red carpet ever.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on labels, I've been on tours, and I've been in a shitload of bands, and this is the first time I ever walk any type of a red carpet. It's not the Grammys, but I'll take it. Man.
But it's equal. I mean, even though, because.
Yeah, kind of.
The Grammys are commercial. Signed bands and that bullshit, but this is the recognition.
And we actually have a potential for that because they said maybe next year to us, the Grammys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They said maybe next year.
It's a protocol.
So maybe this next record, who knows? If we push it enough and we have the right combination of things, you know how it has to be
right.
Work.
Everything's
got to fall. But maybe.
Man, that would be something. Holy shit.
Yeah.
The Grammys is another different animal. I mean,
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
In regards of...
You got to be big. But we're going to try.
But even though, I mean, it's like you got to go through this process of getting the recommendations from people active on the music industry.
Right. Yeah.
So that way, you're in. That's the first door, the first layer. But from there, there's all the things on the back end in order to be... Actually, just being nominated on any category, rock or new artist, whatever categories they got on the Grammys, but at least we got to the first door.
Yeah.
Well, okay, this year didn't go through. Okay, we got to resubmit again next year and hopefully get to the second door and so on.
That's awesome that you guys are trying. You know, most bands probably don't even...
I mean, for the Jossies, I mean, it's a big competition.
If you don't know,
we got nominated, but there were 59,000 something submissions to the Jossie Music Awards, and they just handpicked a 2%, which are the whole nominees on all the categories that they got there. I mean, it's a pretty organized event. I'm surprised. I mean, it's the ninth year that they've been doing this in Nashville. And every year the event is going bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've seen the nominees under the Jossie Music Awards for these years, it's bluegrass, vocals, blues, banjo, cover band.
So they cover everything.
It's like the Grammys. All the categories, all the nominees under each category, it's huge.
That's awesome.
I'd hate to run that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're under our...
But you can do it with all the work you do.
Under our category?
There's one want to.
Right.
Under our category, which is the best rock band of the year, there's 11 nominees right there, including us.
Yeah?
So, it's a big...
Hopefully, you guys are the only ones that show up, and they go, we got to have somebody get up on stage.
Right.
Like, who's here? Dawn of the Rising. They win.
Hell yeah, default.
Yeah.
But the voting process, based on what I read, it's a very internal and concealed process.
Yeah.
Only they know who they're going to be selecting and who's going to be winning. Already, you know, they got on the list as a winner.
Yeah.
So nobody knows. It's going to be interesting, you know. Yeah. And just the excitement of being there.
I think that'll be the entertainment for us, just to see how it works.
Right.
You know.
And
you guys really make a splash if you don't win. Just fucking rip the chairs off, throwing shit.
Make the news. Like Guns N' Roses, they started it. Like bad publicity is good publicity. Right. Go in there and fuck shit up, and then you'll get recognition.
And personally, for me, I mean, it's something also very meaningful, because I'm the first person from Puerto Rico, from the rock scene.
Yeah.
Being nominated and then being on the Grand Ole Opry. So that's an achievement unlocked right there.
Yeah, congratulations.
You can hear the Xbox bell. Ding.
And he has a lot of fans in Puerto Rico that are pulling for him, that support him a lot. And radio stations, too. That, what's that guy in Texas? But he promotes out of... They promote Puerto Rico and all the artists.
Yeah, there's a lot of love and support from the people there.
I mean, that's amazing.
Played there for... many years, and then been here for...
You were in Forgotten.
Yeah, that was my band back then, and also played with a couple other bands, but that was my main...
His brand, he owned that one.
Yeah.
Still there late.
In fact, Endless Cries...
Playing around and still Spotify and Pandora and all the medias.
Yeah, Endless Cries, actually, he brought from Puerto Rico.
Nice.
I rewrote the lyrics and melodies.
Yeah,
But the music was... But he brought...
We did some, you know,
modifications.
We gave it a little bit of a facelift.
Yeah,
modernized it a little
to
bit
to a Dawn
more,
of the Rising. It, you know,
right.
Make it,
right.
Yeah.
Dawn,
it
Dawn of the Risify.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the backstory here on what the reason why we're here and looking forward. I mean, we still got a lot of shit to see today, so.
Yeah, now we're tourists.
Now you're tourists.
Right.
Tomorrow, awards nominees. Yeah. Today, tourists.
Today, you're tourists. Tomorrow, you're guests.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's cool. You know, I really love this place, man. I'm taking it in. I love the nature of it, too. Like, man, all these trees. It's beautiful.
I don't know how you'd feel in a couple of months from now when the roads are all covered with ice and shit.
Oh, shit.
Well, I'm from upstate New York.
Yeah, so you know.
Yeah, it's cold. And
I already seen a little bit.
I like
bit.
To shovel there. Snow and chop wood. It makes a man out of you.
I seen already a little bit when I moved here in Arizona. I went to Flagstaff, for example. I saw the Grand Canyon also, and it was like, okay, I love the snow. I can play with it a little bit, but that's it. It's all fun and games until you start shoveling. Fuck that.
Yeah, if it's 70 degrees, Iggy's shivering. Literally. And now I am too, because our blood is so thin from being in Arizona. Like, when it gets 40, I'm like, yeah. So I'd be a pussy if I went back to New York, you know what I mean? They'd be like, why are you wearing that jacket? You know what
Everyone
I mean?
Everyone else running around in shorts. That's how it was the first weekend I came here from Wisconsin. I'm running around with shorts, and everybody else got jackets and shit on.
You're like, what's your problem?
We just came out of a snowstorm, you know?
Yeah.
Now here we are. It's beautiful.
That ain't a knife, you know?
Yeah, right? Man.
But it's nice to see some green. I mean,
yeah, we're from the desert.
Right, yeah.
Which is cactus and
sand.
Dirt.
Cactus and the goddamn caliche. Oh my
God. We have a lot of mountains in Arizona.
Yeah.
Like mountains. Here you have mountains, but you can't see them. There's trees.
Right.
But you can see rocks. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's totally different. It's so dry.
Yeah, and it's dry like a mother. But it's hot, believe me.
Right on.
You need oven mitts to drive your car.
I mean, I like that sometimes here.
I know.
Right now, I mean, the weather is there in Arizona so crazy that you wake up. In my case, I start early shift, so I got to drive around 5:30 or back to my work, right? And in the mornings now, it's like 60s lows, and then by noon, it's already 100. You go like, how the fuck do you increase 40 degrees like that so quickly? Yeah. Boom. And then it drops down again at night. So it's we're in that point where the weather is crazy right now.
All right, well, when the new album does come out, I hope we're going to be the first ones to know about it.
And you're going to have
it. Oh, yeah, you're going to get a copy for sure.
And then as soon as you give the word, share it with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll be mailing those to you. And by the way, we got some swag that we brought for you and Chris.
Right on.
So we got to
let me run
that.
And get that real quick.
Okay.
And then we'll do what we talked about before the thing.
Smell your It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.